tonight, what I'd like to do is cover two topics. One is Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is coming. And point out some of the basic lamdas behind Tu B'Shvat. And then deal with the topic of hydroponics as it relates to this week's parasha. Okay. Also, Limo tonight is this Chutz Refuah Shalema, Yosef ben Sima. Okay. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us on Daf Yud Amud Aleph a very interesting makar for the notion that Ilanos, the birthday of trees, follows Tu B'Shvat. So when you're being koveya the year of which year the tree is in, so its birthday is decided by Tu B'Shvat, not by Aleph Tishrei. Now the source of that, the Gemara describes in Daf Yud Amud Aleph and Rosh Hashanah, comes from the pasuk, interestingly, of Neter Revai, that the Torah tells us that in the third year, in Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah tells us in the third year, Arel Hu Lo Yachel, Arelim Hu Lo Yachel, Uvashana Aravias. And the Torah adds, and in the fourth year, now the next pasuk describes that in the fourth year you could be poded. However, Chazal understands Uva Shana Revias, that there's a time where something is technically in the fourth year, but if it hasn't passed the birthday of its birthday of Tu B'Shvat three times, so then in such a case it's still considered in the third year and Asar Mitam Arla. So you've got to pass that birthday of Tu B'Shvat three full times before it has exits the status of Arla, enters the status of Neter Revai. And the Gemara says, and from there we learn to Meister. So that's interesting, that the halacha of Arla tells us what the halacha of Meister is. This is what the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Amud Aleph tells us. Now, what we're about to discuss is a little complex. I hope if there's anything that's not clear, stop me. There's a beautiful yisod that I'd like to bring out, Be'ezer Hashem, but this is the starting point. Starting point is that we learn the halacha of Neter Revai and Meister from the halacha of Meiser from Neter Revai and Arla. Now, in regards to Shemitah, there is a massive machlokus between the Rishonim. The Rach in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, as well as the Aruch, both write that the same applies also for Shemitah. Let me spell out what that means. When we're talking about Shemitah, we want to know when the Pri is considered one that's associated with the seventh year. So generally, the halachos of Shemitah, let's talk about the Isser of Avodah during Shemitah. Isser of Avodah goes from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So last year was Shemitah, right? Was it last year or 2 years ago? So let's say it was Tavshin Samach Ches, that was Shemitah, whatever the year is, the Shemitah, it starts from Rosh Hashanah and it goes to Rosh Hashanah. That means the Isser of Avodah is from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. However, when it comes to the status of the fruits, when are the status of the fruits defined as having Kedusha Shvi'is, and when is there an Isur to do Avodah on those fruits? So the Rach and the Aruch are of the opinion that you follow Tu B'Shvat. Just like we say that Tu B'Shvat is the birthday for Maestros, it's not only regards to Arla, but rather it's extended for Maestros as well. So too, even though Shemitah goes from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that's the general Isser Avodah. However, when it comes to Kedushas Peros Shvi'is, when is it defined as having Kedushas Peros Shvi'is Midorais? Now, when it gets to Mishnais and Shvi'is, it gets a little bit more complicated, but we're talking on a level of Doraisa now. So there you go, from Tu B'Shvat to Tu B'Shvat. So what do we see? We see, again, for Machshava, this might be important, that you have Arla and Neter Revai, that teaches Meiser, and according to the Rach and the Aruch, that teaches us for Shemitah as well. That the kvius of Kedusha Shvi'is, when it comes to the Peros, although all other halachos of Shvi'is, Prusbel, everything else is defined mate, Tishrei to Tishrei. In fact, the Mishnah even says, in Rosh Hashanah, says that you go from Tishrei to Tishrei. However, Peros has its own rules. Peros go from Tu B'Shvat to Tu B'Shvat, and that would be the halacha in regards to Peros Shemitah as well. Now the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam in Perek Dal Halacha Tes says Beferish that when it comes to Ilanos in Hilchos Shemitah, when it comes to Ilanos, all of the halachos follow the Tishrei to Tishrei. That makes sense, because by Shemitah, that's what the Mishnah tells us. However, the Rambam is passing against the Toras Kohanim, the Pashtus. The Toras Kohanim writes, on the Pasuk, Shna Shabbosan Yelo Aretz, Kivin Yirah Shviz, Afal Pishe Peruseo, Shmita Mutter, Atalasos Malacha Begufo Shel Ilan, Aval Peros Sav, Asurim Atu Bishvat. So the Toras Kohanim says, Beferish, that when you're being Koveya, the Halacha of the Kedusha Shviz, so there you go until Tu Bishvat. Again, the punchline is, Aval Peros of Asurim Atu Bishvat. So it goes from Tu Bishvat to Bishvat, not from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Yes, Yaakov.
According to the Rath Arach and the Toras Kohanim,
yeah,
that means that there's an Isser Malacha on the Karka, but the Peros aren't published for another 6 months.
That's right.
4 months.
That's correct. That's correct. So what's behind this Machlokas? So in order to understand what's behind this Machlokas, we have to get into the bones of what is the whole din of Tu Bishvat. What is the, if you will, the Mechayiv of Tu Bishvat? So the Gemara says on Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph a little bit more than the Gzeres Hakasav Uvashana Revi'is, because at the end of the day, the Gzeres Hakasav Uvashana Revi'is just tells us that it goes into the fourth year sometimes, that you don't follow the new years, that there's a special halacha Tu Bishvat. But what are the nuances? Where did we come up with Tu Bishvat? So the Gemara says, gives us a reason. The Gemara says that the reason is because this is the time that Yatsu Rov Gishmei Shana. We're about to hit the time of the year that the majority of rainwater has already passed. Now there is a machlokis between Rashi and Tosfos. What exactly does that mean? In other words, what is the significance of Yatsu Rov Gishmei Shana? Tosfos, we'll go with Tosfos' pshat first. Tosfos and Dibra Maskel Be'echa Bishvat suggests the following. Tosa says, "V'kol hachanutim kodem zman hazeh, anything that buds before Tu Bishvat, haynu al gishmei shana shelifnei tishrei. That means that it grew on the rainwater before Tishrei." So what's Tosa's chat? Tosa gives a very interesting understanding. If it budded before tomorrow, so then what Tosa says is, that's a simin that really is shayich from the year before. It's really shayich to the previous year. That's Shitas Tosos over here in Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph. Rashi gives a different shot. Rashi says that we chose Tu Bishvat, as the Gemara says, that Rove of the Kshamim appeared during that time. It says Rashi, the reason that is significant is because that's when the sap of the trees begins to produce itself, and that's when most fruits begin to bud. That's how Rashi learns. Now let's lump the size in a moment. Again, so Rashi Shita is that this is the general time that fruits bud, so Tu Bishvat is a different time than the rest of the year. Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. So let's lump the size a little bit. What is this machlokas over here? Let's put it in terminology. According to Tosfos, Tu Bishvat is really a simen. It's just a simen. Rov Gishmei Shana take place before, and therefore, when it buds before, then that's a simen that is really shayach to the previous year. So according to Tosfos, the Torah Zeraim points out, this, what we're about to present comes from the Torah Zeraim. The Torah Zeraim says, we see that Tu Bishvat is essentially a simin of which year the fruit is shayach to. However, Rashi Shita is different. Rashi Shita is not that we look at Tu Bishvat as a simin for Aleph Tishrei. No! Absolutely nothing to do with Aleph Tishrei at all. It's a separate halacha. The Gzeres HaKasuv HaShanah Revi'is comes to tell us that there, when it comes to fruits, it has its own birthday. Not that it's because Rov Gishmei Shama, so then that's a simon that is from a previous year. No! It's in and of itself has a separate identity, its own identity. This is the machlokus between the Rashi and the Tos. This is the Pshat Torah Zoram gives in the machlokus, and Luchura is just lumdicizing what they're saying. He claims that this is two deos in the Medrash Halacha, which we're not going to elaborate on. But based on this, the Torah Zoram says, we can now explain what is the shita of the Rach and the Rush. The Rach and the Aruch, excuse me. The Rach and Aruch we were bothered by. What's going on in the Rach and Aruch? Why is it that the Rach and Aruch say that, and when it comes to Shemitah, we follow Tu Bishvat, doesn't make any sense. We know beferish that the halacha of Shemitah follows the first of Tishrei to the first of Tishrei. If you say like Tosfos, the Torah Zoram is convinced that the Rach and the Aruch hold like Tosfos, that Tu Bishvat is not an identity by itself, but Ro Gishmei Hashana shows us which year the fruit is related to. If it budded already before Ro Gishmei Hashana had concluded, then that's a siman that's really shayach to the previous year's shana. So if it's the beginning of Shemitah, 3 months into Shemitah, and it's budding in Kislev, so then it's really related to the sixth year. It's only if it buds after Tu Bishvat is it shayach to the previous year. Is it shayach to that year of Shemitah? So if that's so now we understand. The Rach and the Aruch are pointing out that when it comes to Shemitah, of course it goes from Aleph Tishrei to Aleph Tishrei. But Tu Bishvat is just a simin. In contrast, it happens to be that the Shitas HaRambam is that when it comes in Perek Aleph, the Rambam writes in the Hilchos Shemitah, that when it comes to deciding the status of Peros Shviyas, we don't use the criteria of Chanata, but rather it goes with the criteria of Basar Shlish, whether the fruit has reached its Shlishing growth. So it has nothing to do with the criterion of Basar Chanata. If that's so then the Rambam can't be going with the whole Mahalach of Shitas Rach and the Aruch, because he can't fit within the Shita of Tosos. He must understand like the Shita of Rashi in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. What's most significant for us is what I want to bring out, what I want to focus on, is that the fundamental machlokus between Tosos and Rashi, that according to the Shita of Tosos, we say that the halacha is that Tu Bishvat is just a simen, while according to the Rashi, it becomes a seal by itself, and the Rach and the Aruch are going with that. And it's not difficult. Everything is Nikbal Yidei Tishrei when it comes to Shemitah. However, according to the Rach and the Aruch, Tu Bishvat becomes a simen of which year, which Aleph Tishrei it's connected to. And that's the pshat in their Shemitah. Ad kan with the lumdus of Tu Bishvat. What do we see? What emerges? That really Tu Bishvat is a celebration. If you want to choose a title for what we're discussing tonight, so what we're going to discuss tonight is of land and water. And that is that we see that Tu Bishvat is really a celebration of the Rov Gishmei Hashana. Whether Rov Gishmei Hashana is the simon for a Tishrei or becomes a value by itself, really Tu Bishvat is a celebration of the conclusion of the Rov Gishmei Hashana and how it affects the Peres. It's an amazing thing that technology has gone so far to show that in truth, land isn't entirely needed altogether to raise vegetation. Now, there is a whole field, there's a whole industry called hydroponics, in which you grow things entirely not on land at all. You grow them on water. Everything that the vegetation, both trees and plants, everything that's needed could be supplied by water. And the poskim have discussed what exactly is the status of those things that grow in water. Let's discuss two topics. First, in regards to Shemitah. In regards to Shemitah, what's the halacha in terms of growing things during Shnas HaShemitah here in Eretz Yisrael on water? So there's a great sefer. It's one of my favorite svarim on Shemitah. It's a really fantastic sefer. It's a very, very small, neat sefer called Sefer HaShemitah by Raphael Michal Tukachinsky. He really is the most... It doesn't get involved in politics. It really is a beautiful, beautiful sefer, written, of course, by the famous author of the Gesher HaChaim. And there, Rav Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky argues that there shouldn't be a problem of raising vegetation, working on vegetation, when it is not on the ground, but rather is in water. He has a Yerushalmi that seems to support it. Yerushalmi says that you're allowed to be shorez ra in the mayim b'shvi'ez, in dalet dalet, in Shemitah, in Shemitah. There the Yerushalmi says that you're not allowed to soak seeds in water during Shemitah. Why? So presumably, Rav Tukachinsky argues, because the Torah formulates Isur of Shemitah as sod chalo sizra, is that you're not allowed to plant the land. But who says you're not allowed to plant?
You are allowed.
I'm sorry?
You're not allowed
to plant in land, you're allowed to plant in water. So the Torah says, sod chalo sizra, that the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to plant in land, in field. But otherwise, the halacha would be that it's permissible. So this is Raphael Michal Tukachinsky's mahalach. It happens to be that today there are some poskim that are machmir, based on the sugya and gittin on that chesam et alef, which we're not going to discuss in detail now, which Rav Tukachinsky goes through, and that's the sugya in regards to a svina that's gosheshes ala mayim. So the question is whether the mayim, if it's sitting on top of land, and ultimately, even if, unless you suspend the water, but if the water is sitting in a container that's sitting on land, so then in such a case, some want to argue that the water is considered mechuber lekarka and then could still fall into the category of sod chalo sizra. Tukachinsky is aware of that sugya. It bothers me. There's a kitzur sefer that came out that says, that quotes the shita, quotes that there are different shitas, and quotes this usher, he writes, kepashtus the gemara gittin da chesam and alf. It's not so necessarily true that that's the pashtus of the Gemara at all. And Rav Tukachinsky goes through it, but either way, there is a machlokis haposkim today. The Sefer HaShemitah argues that the halacha would be that it should be mutter b'shnas HaShemitah. What I'd like to focus the majority of our time tonight is a very, very fascinating question. And that is, what bracha you make on wheat that's grown on water through hydroponics? Wheat that ultimately is turned into bread. So what bracha would you make on it? So again, the theme of Tu B'Shvat is the koach of Gishamim. Ad kedei kach, that to the point that the whole machlokas Rishonim is only how you understand what is Mirov Gishmei Hashana. What happens if if wheat is grown on water? Now this comes up as a shaila already. So how's it connected to Parshas B'Shalach? So there's a fascinating discussion. Kedarko B'Kodesh, the one who does an amazing job, and I'm nispal from him. I always say that those people who criticize Rav Avadia, Chacham Avadia Yosef Shlita, generally is just that they're jealous of his ideas. Remember, almost all these tshuvas are written before the CD-ROM. So Rav Avadia has a tshuva, Nichav Adas, and Chelek Vav Siman Yud Beis, and he quotes, not only does he quote every Maran Mokhav, every Shas Tshuva, he quotes every Kabbalah Sefer, every Chassidah Sefer on the topic, and then after he quotes 20 Maran Mekonis and Chassidahs and Kabbalah, and then he writes, but I shouldn't be Marich on this too much, and then he goes back to the Halacha. Connected to this week's parasha, Rabbosai, because comes up, what bracha did Bnei Yisrael make on the man in the Midbar? What bracha did they make on the man? So, Rav Avadia quotes, and the Sefer HaChassidim, Rav Yehuda HaChassid, writes that they made the bracha of Hanoisein Lechem Min HaShemayim. So the point is, what we're going to be driving at first, just in terms of discussing what the bracha Rishona is, that what we're going to be driving at is that it seems that if it doesn't grow from the ground, that there are other brachos that have to be introduced. Now, by the way, Rabosai, you're going to see that we're not going to derive halakhic conclusions from these makoros entirely. What I want to bring out is a nuance. You'll see in a second. Yes.
Is it certain that they made a bracha at all?
Good question. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. Ravadi even mentions that, and especially according to those Rishonim, hold birchas hamotzi d'oraisa. He mentioned that Mesiach Lefitumo. He mentions that. The Ramah Mipano. This is quoted in the Bnei Yisachar, which we'll read in a second. There's a fascinating Bnei Yisachar in this. Says that the bracha that they made was Hamotzi Lechem in Hashemayim, not Hanosein Lechem in Hashemayim, but Hamotzi Lechem in Hashemayim. The Sefer Gan Rava, this is not my own, this is all coming from Rav Avadia, says that they made a bracha Bar Minyan Zonos. He claims, because at the end of the day, the Torah says that it had a Tam Kitzpichas Mitzvash. So he says it must be that the bracha that they made was a Mizonos. The Bnei Yisachar, in his inimitable style, I think there's a lot of beauty in this. Obviously, I do take it from my Litvisher background, I take it a little bit with a grain of salt. But the Bnei Yisachar does have a fascinating Masa Matan. He quotes this Ramah Mipano. And then he says, Vani Yisi Meshiv, I answered when we were sitting around and discussing what bracha they made, to the Asid. They were discussing, just like last, then in the past we made a bracha on the man, what would be the bracha in the Suda Shal of Yasin, where there's a Kabbalah that they will also eat from the man? Because it says that there was a Tzinsenes Haman that was saved. I don't know who this is. Rabbi Yisrael Dov. He quotes that there was a Rabbi Mekubal who claimed that they didn't make a bracha at all. Like you said, Rav Dani, but with a beautiful chapin Kabbalah. Kivan shehu lechem avirim nivla beivarim shelo hayibo beirur. Says that the man was an entirely spiritual meichel. Kol ikar habracha, and here's the beautiful part in terms of brachas. Kol ikar habracha, what's a tafkid of a bracha? The whole tafkid of a bracha is to separate from what the kedusha of what's in the ochel and the psoles, the klipos in the ochel. Ubiman lo hayu psoles, and the man there was no psoles because everything was nivla beivarim. According to this gemara in Yuma Nayin Heim Abayz, it says it was nivla. The pasha says there wasn't need even for excretion. And the Bnei Yisachar says that he was nene very much because, and the reason why I'm reading this inside is in terms of the bracha, it's a beautiful idea that the notion of the bracha is to bring out, and that's what we should think about before we make a bracha, is it's a way to bring out the kedusha in achila. So the man was already on a madrega where there wasn't the need for that process. That's what the Bnei Yisachar writes. Rabosai, this sounds very esoteric, and it is. But now let's bring it back a little bit halfway down to earth. The man is actually an important makar in halacha for brachas. Forget about exactly what bracha they did or they didn't make. There's one bracha we know for sure they did make. It's a Beferish Gemara. The Gemara in Brachas on Amchasim Abayz says that the bracha of Hazan Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin on the man. Birchas Hamazon was niskan aydei haman. So even though when it comes to Birchas Hananin, so that is a point of a lot of speculation, a lot of nuance, there happens to be, when it comes to Bracha Achrona, there's no nuance whatsoever. There, the Gemara actually tells us that our whole Birchas Hamazon is modeled after the Birchas Hamazon that was made on the man. The Gilyoni Ashas of Yosef Engel asks, but wait a second, could you make a Birchas Hamazon on the man? It had just a tam, but it didn't have mamoshos of wheat. So he quotes that the Gemara in Ayin Heim Abayz in Yuma seems to say that some Shita said that not only did it have, we all know the Medrash that we were taught as kids, that you could have it taste what you wanted, but it will also have the mamashos of that ochel as well. Because Rabbi Yosef Engel is bothered, if it doesn't have the mamashos, so then in such a case you would be parted from Birchas HaMazon. But he says, no, according to that man d'Amar, it had the tam and the mamashos. So that would make things a little bit complicated for mothers. You know, mother is feeding her child supper in the midbar, and she gives him man. She says, have in mind that it's string beans. So he eats it, and then 3 minutes later she gives him a little bit more, and then she says, have in mind that it's chicken. So the kid turns back to her and he says, Mom, I had in mind the spring beans was ice cream. I don't know if I could eat it now. So, but either way, that's a nafkamina, if you will, from this Gilyone Ashat. They even discuss in Hilchos Issa V'Heter, they discuss of whether they're, whether you can infer the halachos as far as macholos. There's a Rashi in Sanhedrin that's mashma that there were times that did have the tam of Macholos Asuras. We're not going to discuss this more because it's a little bit beyond our scope, and for that matter, even our Lumdusha interest. But what emerges, though, is that we see Beferish that there was Birchas HaMazon that was Niskan Al Yidei Haman. Let's now stop right there. Definitely it has a human interest side to it, this discussion. And now let's go to hardcore halachic material as far as brachos and those things that don't necessarily grow from the ground. Yes?
Yeah, doesn't the Gemara brachos say that you can make mizonos on anything that's not melach and mayim?
But you want to get it right. We want to get it as precise as possible. In other words, if there's a key, you know, in these Kabbalah farm, if we could say, it's probably a higher madrega. But Einachanami, you know, as a default position, the other thing is that poskim are very reticent, as we're going to see in a moment, are very reticent to use that Gemara la halacha. We're going to get halacha lemaisa as far as that's concerned. Yeah.
So can call it lecha.
Oh, so the question is that's exactly what some of the poskim discuss. There's a Chuvas Harama also that makes the point that you just said about the Pesukim quoting of Lechem. There's a lot to quote. I'm trying to stay as focused as possible to bring out a logical yisod. There is a fascinating Machlokes HaPoskim on something that's rooted, at least not necessarily rooted in the ground, but at least it's rooted in something. And that is, what bracha do you make on fruits, vegetables, and we're going to focus on wheat that grew in a flower pot that's not nakuv. An otzit she'eino nakuv. Is an otzit she'eino nakuv, could you use that to be mekayim mitzvahs challah, mitzvahs matzah? What bracha do you make on it? So the Rashash, you know, a well thought out mahalach on Dav Lamed Vavam Abezim Psachim, suggests that the status of an otzit she'eino nakuv, a closed flower pot that's not considered mechuber lekarka, for most halachos, he claims that you make your mevarech birchas hamazon, you make a hamotzi, you could be yotze mitzvahs matzah, as well as challah. His proofs we won't discuss right now. All he needs to show is that he claims that he has proofs, which we're not going to discuss, about why it's chayiv and challah. And he says, once it's chayiv and challah, so then everything would be, we would consider it mamish like lechem. This is the shita of the Rashash. However, this is a big machlokas haposkim because the Chayei Adam disagrees. The Chayei Adam in Klal Nun Aleph, and this is developed in Hilchos Esrog, in the Nishmas Adam in Kuf Nun Beis, Klal Kuf Nun Beis Sif Aleph, the Chayei Adam is not convinced at all that something that grows in a flower pot is going to have the status as if it grew in the ground. And therefore, the Chayei Adam says that you don't need to make a hamotzi on wheat that grows in a flower pot. I once heard a lot of this material from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, I'll quote his Mahalach shortly. So he quipped about this. He said, "So now you have a good advertising point. You could sell bread and say not, and it's a real mazonos bread." He said, "But then the problem is, and then on the inside of the wrapper, you have to tell him, but the bracha is still berachas hamazon. L'chulei alma, the bracha would be berachas hamazon." So this is the machlok. So the svara, he says beferish. The Chai Adam says beferish, and the svara behind the Chai Adam is that at the end of the day, if the person is zan from it the exact same way a person would be zan from bread, he's satisfied, he's filled by it in such a way, in such a case he'd be chayav in berachas hamazon. And everybody agrees with this. Here there are no chalkim that I found. Everybody agrees that it would get a berachas hamazon. So the question then becomes that the Rashash is very logical. If I can anticipate, Rabbi Yaakov, where you're going at. The Rashash now becomes very logical. In fact, there's a Yerushalmi that says that anything that gets a berachas hamazon, so if all the poskim are going to agree, so tzarech yon number one that I have is on the nishmas adam, the chayi adam. If all the poskim are going to agree that it gets a birchas hamazon because it's bread, and the only shaila is whether you could use the words hamotzi lechem min haaretz, whether you could use that expression hamotzi lechem min haaretz, so then in such a case, the chura. Once you have the Yerushalmi that says in Avmen Mamed Aleph that whatever you make a Berchas HaMazon, you make a HaMotzion, L'chura, this is a bit of a problem for the position of the Chayi Adam. So that's the Tzarechiyun. That is the Tzarechiyun that we have to leave off with. Now, Rebbe Vadia claims that even, let's talk Halacha L'maisa now, that even if we hold like the Rashash and not like the Nishmas Adam, even the Rashash would be moda that you can't make a motzi lechem min haaretz as something that grew from water. The chiluk is pashut. That when it comes to an otzitz nakul, otzitz sheino nakul, it's true that it's not mechuber lekarka, but there is a little bit of karka in the flower pot. So you know, it's growing a little bit with the tzura of a motzi lechem min haaretz. There, you could say borei pri ha'adama, even though it's not mechuber entirely la'adama. However, if it grows on water, so then in such a case, it's hard to imagine that it would get the bracha borei pri ha'adama. So this is the position of Ravadia. Ravadia, with deference, with a slight shtach along the way, but general deference, quotes that Rav Ozner in Chelek Aleph in the Shevet Alevi, Simon Reish Hay in his Gilyonos, it's in the Shevet Alevi, has Gilyonos on Shulchan Aruch. It's his Ha'ara on Hilchos Brachos, there by Bar Pri Adama. Rav Ozner seems to disagree. Rav Ozner says, he says he's a Mesupak, he's not sure what bracha would get, but at the end of the day, he says he thinks it's most likely that you get the bracha Haru'uyala. So that seems, according to Rav Ozner, that it would get, that he's saying it would get the Hamotzi, Bar Pri Eitz, if we're talking about fruits. We have Bo'ur Pri Adama if we're talking about vegetables. So this is the two different levels of the Shaila. In other words, number one, you talk about an otzitz she'eino nakuv, and there we have a machlokis. And then when it comes to hydroponics, Rav Avadia claims that everybody would agree that it doesn't get that a bracha. Now Rav Avadia goes back and he says the same thing for Shemitah. He says, and then, of course, the Shemitah also be mutter. He's mitzarif with Allah. The Shemitah is only midrabanim bizman hazeh. But he's quite convinced also that it's not considered connected to the character. At the end of the day, it could be that the Rashash is right. But when it comes to something that's entirely growing on water, so then in such a case, one could be mekel. Another feather in the hat of the poskim, who say that anything that doesn't grow from the ground, but is mamish identical to the food item itself, doesn't get that bracha. In other words, closer to Rav Avadia's mahalach, as opposed to Rav Ozner's mahalach, is a ritva in kedushin on lamed zayin of beis. And this is going to lead me to tzarechiyun number two. The ritva in kedushin on lamed zayin of beis claims, and Rav Yitzchak Engel makes a big deal about this. I didn't realize it. You know, the way Rav Yosef Engel's I saw in the secondary sefer, I don't have the Gulyoni HaShas of Yosef Engel, but I saw a quote in another sefer, it was quoted of Yosef Engel, the way he dramatized the Ritva, you would have expected the Ritva says it in six, 10 lines. It's a diuk that he's making from the Ritva. It took me a while to find where the diuk was coming from, but Yosef Engel has a fascinating diuk from the Ritva. The Ritva says that we ate matzah, he says, as a kizayis of matzah, what we took out our back from Mitzrayim, and the rest of the night, he says, we ate man. That's what the Ritva writes. The night of Pesach, we ate matzah, and the rest of the night, we ate man. The mashmos of the Ritva is that we would not be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah with the man. That's the mashmos. Rabbeinu Gershom, also, in Menachos, on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, also says that we did not bring the Karban Omer and the Shtei Alechem from the man because it wasn't considered lechem. It's not entirely lechem. I Rav Yitzchak's question that the Torah refers to it as lechem. That's not the standard type of lechem. And if it's not the standard lechem, so in such a case, it couldn't be used to bring the carbon, to bring the shtei halechem. So if that's so, first of all, that seems to indicate again as well that even if you have something that's properties are entirely identical, it's clones. Really brings up a fascinating question in terms of cloning. It's a material that's cloned, so then in such a case, then doesn't necessarily assume the identity of something that was exactly it, if its source is not the karka, particularly when we're talking about lechem. So that's an important marimakum in regards to this question as far as the man. However, we have a problem. According to the Ritva, who says that's not considered lechem, and you can't be mekayim mitzvah matzah. So then how does one reconcile this Ritva with the Gemara in Brachas that says that the whole Makar of Birchas HaMazon is what Moshe Rabbeinu was misaking on us eating the man? How do we reconcile this Ritva with that idea, for that matter, this Rabbeinu Gershom?
It's the same question we're asking.
Exactly. We're repeating the same Sarachim. In other words, the same question that we asked on the Nishmas Adam is also a question on the Ritva, exactly. What is it? At first glance, the Rashash seemed 100% right. So let's crunch the question. We're asking on all these Shitas, why is it, when it comes to all the above Shitas, you can make a Birchas HaMazon, according to the Nishmas Adam, the Chaya Adam, on bread, according to the Ritva, you also can make it on bread. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, you can make it on bread because of the Beferish Gemara. Yet, according to Nishmas Adam, you make a Bar Minei Mizonos if it's grown in a flower pot. According to the Ritva, you can't be Mekayim Mitzvah Matzah with it. And according to Rabbeinu Gershom, you can't use it for the Karbanos of the Omer of the Shtei Alechem, as he writes on in Menachos HaMemhei Amabez. So what's the answer to all the above questions? So I mentioned that there is Yerushalmi. This Yerushalmi is debatable. The Yerushalmi on Daf Mem Amud Aleph that says that whatever has a Birchas HaMazon automatically gets a Birchas HaMotzi, the Kesef Mishnah points out in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph, that Yerushalmi, the Rambam quotes, but not exactly.
The Rambam
quotes in the other direction. The Rambam writes in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph, Kol she mevarchin alav b'tchilas hamotzi, mevarchin alav la'acharav b'sof birchas hamazon. And the Kesef Mishnah points out that now we can't discuss it. Maybe in the summer call we'll spend more time discussing it. I think I'd like to learn Ketzem Mevarchin. But according to the Bavli, the Kesef Mishnah claims that it's not exactly the rule of the Yerushalmi. That the Bavli holds that whatever has a Birchas HaMotzi, by definition, is always going to get a Birchas HaMazon. But not necessarily whatever has a Birchas HaMazon, by definition, is going to get a HaMotzi before it. So therefore, Rabbi Reisman came along and he said very sharply, made a beautiful made a beautiful point. He says the Rashash's assumption isn't necessarily mufrach. Said Mehechi Tesi that just because the Rashash proved that you could be mafresh chala, I'm not saying the Rashash agrees with the Rabbeinu Gershom, but that the Rashash said that you could be mafresh chala and that you would bench, who says the bracha beforehand would be a Birchas Hamotzi? And here's Rabbi Reisman's kicker. Parshas HaShavua, according to all the Sifrei Hasidus and Kabbalah. The Gemara in Brachos says the Feirish, Amen Ches on the Beis, that we made a Hamotzi on it. Yet no one suggests, it's striking, in Rabbi Vadia's list, in all the lists, no one has been found to say that you make a brach of Hamotzi, they made a brach of Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz Aman. No one says that. So Reisman claims that the Bavli disagrees with Yerushalmi. That the Yerushalmi is of the opinion that if it has a brach of Hamotzi beforehand, the Yerushalmi says if you have Birchas Hamotzi beforehand, that's a raya that you make Hamotzi before. However, it could be the Bavli is not going with that mahalach. And as the Kesef Mishnah points out, the Bavli's rule doesn't go in that direction. And the proof is that actually we were misaking the Birchas HaMazon on the man, but there's no one in all the lists and all the possibilities that everybody has of what bracha they made on man, the suggestion of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz does not appear. So I want to bring a riot to what Rav Reisman is saying from the Lashon of the Kesef Mishnah, as well as the change in the Bavli. It's been years. I think it was 15 years ago I heard this from him. It could be he said this too. I don't remember where my thoughts start and stop and where what he said. But what I do remember is that this beautiful raya that he was bringing from all the makaros of the bracha that they made on the man, there is no makar that says that they made hamotzeh min haaretz. So what does that prove? That it's possible, like what Rav Avadia is saying, that it's possible that the bracha would not be a bracha of hamotzeh min haaretz on wheat. The bracha might be a borei mina mezonos, and yet you still would make birchas hamazon after one finishes eating. And it's very hard to be mefakpeh on saying that you would not make the birchas hamazon, because if they made the birchas hamazon on the man, so then kal v'chomer we would make the birchas hamazon by us as well. A couple of questions. You want to just? Rodani, you had your hand. Okay. Yes.
No, that's a
Revozner. Revozner says that.
Can you change that for us as
Revozner says it has a suffix. Revozner has a suffix, but he says kimduma lo that you would make a brach the normal bracha.
Is it either hydroponics or just us as Eberlach?
No, Revozner is talking about even a hydroponics. He's mesupak, but then he says he thinks that okay. Rebosai, I think that these two sugyas that we've discussed bring us to two lessons. First thing that emerged is that we see both from Tu Bishvat and when it comes to the sugya of hydroponics is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, number one, has given us a Yom Tov where the focus is not on the rules of the karka, but the focus is on the rules of the mayim. That's what Tu Bishvat is all about. And the Metzius, that Kodesh Baruch Hu has created a phenomenon that it's possible to grow things on water and not need karka, to me that indicates that Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling us a very, very important message at this time. And that is that there are times in Avodas Hashem that one is always, the world always needs mayim. Everything is dependent, all gidul is dependent on mayim. But technology and Tu Bishvat remind us that the ikar isn't the karka, but the ikar is the mayim. And of course, mayim e mayim el Torah. Mayim represents Torah. Sometimes people feel when their growth of Torah, they feel kashur, they feel connected to a karka, to Ores and Avodas Hashem, that isn't necessarily true. And that emerges that sometimes people are so connected to the matzav that they're in, the present matzav that they're in, if it's a good matzav, They can't adjust. They can't go somewhere else and move. Their yatzlus is in the karka. And what we need to remember is that in avodas Hashem, the ability, as long as we're connected to Mayim, as long as we're connected to the Bechina of Torah, we don't need to be meshuba to any type of karka whatsoever. We're not meshuba to any type of karka. In the past, we've spoken about the Gemara in Tainus on Chaf Hei on the Beis, where the Gemara in Tainus describes that a tzaddik, based on the pasuk in Tehillim, excuse me, Chaf Hei on the Aleph, the Gemara describes that tzaddik is like a tamar. Tzaddik is like a date tree. And we've discussed in the past that the tamar's tree grows very, very deep into the ground. The Gemara starts on the bottom of Chaf Hei on the Aleph, goes to Chaf Hei on the Beis. And the Gemara on Chafei Mebeis says that even though on the one hand the tzaddik is like a tamar, on the other hand, the pasuk also refers to him as a erez. Ke'erez valvon and yiska. Tzaddik atam and yifrach. Ke'erez valvon and yiska. And the Gemara says, just like when it comes to a erez, its geza is machlif. Its geza, its trunk, has the ability to readjust and change and adapt, so too a tzaddik also has to have that ability. And this is a very, very important yisod in our avodas Hashem. Right now, even when we're settled at a particular place, we have to spend time thinking how my learning shouldn't be mechubar to this karka. How do I make sure that what I'm accomplishing right now, I'm going to be able to pick it up, I'm going to be able to walk away with my three Gemaras from 3 years, let's say, in Gross, with my laptop, and be able to go anywhere. As long as those two things, right? I always used to say that everything in the house, aside from my family and my notebooks, are replaceable. So if Chas v'Chalila there's a fire, so I run to get the notebooks, make sure everybody else is out. That's the, so nowadays is a third, nowadays it's the laptop, right? It's the notebooks and the laptop. I haven't written in a notebook. I haven't written in a notebook for years. Now I write everything Gemara. The only thing is the Parsha Shir I still write on paper. That's the only thing that I write on paper anymore. Everything else, the Shirim at the end of the week, I write on the laptop. So nowadays it's the laptop. My wife reminded me, last Shabbos, that our laptop crashed about 3 or 4 years ago. And I had everything that I had written on it. And with Mamish, they called her up and they told her that it was gone. And she said she had never seen me. She said, I turned into a zombie. That's what she said. It's Mamish here. And I remember I was still in YU at the time. I started, typing, one finger at a time. And then it was a few years of work that it, so it turns out they threw it into a freezer. It's an amazing thing. And they say they freeze it for 6 hours, they froze it, and they have another 5 minutes to work on it, and they downloaded it in Baruch Hashem. I don't know if I'd be standing here today if it was, I guess the Musar is to back it up. But the point over here is very, 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 very important. And that is, at the end of the day, we have to make sure, as much as we get attached to v'chule, we have to even think right now how it is that my learning and my avodas Hashem is going to be able to continue to be transposed into other places. That's really the lesson, that what's necessary, ein mayim al ha-tayr, what's necessary isn't necessarily a chibur to karka. What's necessary is a connection to Torah. Everything else is adjustable, and everything else is movable. And a person who becomes very, very rigid and says that the only way I can do it is in this way, so that person is ultimately will be hurt, chas v'chalila, in their avodas Hashem. That's lesson number one that emerges from this phenomenon that Kadosh Baruch Hu has shown us of this amazing thing that Mayim is the bechina, is the celebration of Tu B'Shvat, and Mayim is the bechina in terms of hydroponics. The second lesson that emerges, I think, from Tu B'Shvat is the original Makar. This is a Yisod in the Chinuch. The Makar of Tu B'Shvat, we said, was that the Torah tells us that in the third year you're not supposed to eat, Uvashana Revius, and on the fourth year, Chazal Darshan, that there are times that you're also not allowed to have Hana, and has a din of Arla. And from that we learn our Maestras, and according to the Rach and the Aruch, we also learn out what? We also learn out Shemitah. That's amazing. Think about it. It's amazing that Arla becomes the Makar for all other, for Meister and Shvius. Arla, the Chur is an Easter. It's a Ra. Yet, it becomes the Makar for Meister and Shvius, according to many Rishonim. So I think that point, that Arla becomes the Makar, is very, very important in terms of understanding that to be really a Bar Truma, to be a Bar Maestras, to have Kedushat HaPri of Shvius, sometimes we have to learn from the Klipas, sometimes we have to learn from the Isurim. As the Bnei Yisachar said, that sometimes the fact that there are klipos inside mandate a certain amount of kedusha and bring out kedusha that you wouldn't have otherwise seen before. And the lesson that Arla teaches us, what's the whole bechina of Arla? The whole bechina of Arla is that you have to let the tree run wild. You're not supposed to be nene from it right away. My father maybe well has suggested that the bechina of Arla represents wildness. Leaving something in its natural state, not allowing human beings to temper in its state, allowing it to grow wild. In other words, it's not only that there's something negative in the first 3 years. It could be that there's some, but the idea is that you're not supposed to necessarily take from the fruit right away. In fact, the Rechagel just in Lumbus, when my father told me this, I thought that would answer the Shagas Aryeh's question that we spoke about a few weeks ago. The Shagas Aryeh asks, how could the Rambam say that the halacha is that when it comes to a Bnei Keturah, that there's still chayiv Mila, the Mishnah in the Dorim says that if someone says that he's not going to have Hanah from an Arel, so then he's not allowed to have Hanah from all Goyim in the world. So Shagas Aryeh asks, how could you say that when it comes to the Rambam, how could the Rambam say it? The Mishnah in the Dorim says it includes all Goyim in the world. According to my father, maybe Wells Mahalas, and it's Meyusha. And that is, that when you say Arel, doesn't necessarily only mean the physical Arels. It means people who are wild, who are not refined in mitzvahs. So then, that question falls away. But either way, my father has Rayas from Tanakh, I'm just using it in Lomdus, but either way, the Yisod that I want to come back to is the following. That sometimes to be koveya, Arla teaches us that sometimes you need to leave a little bit more time for Trumas and Maestras and Kedushas HaPri. And that sometimes you shouldn't run in and try to cut down too quickly. And try to expect that you're going to be able to produce Trumas and Maestras and have Kedushas HaPri right away. It takes time. And Arla tells us, the Makar of Arla tells us that you're supposed to let yourself grow a little bit longer. Which means that lesson is a very, very important lesson in terms of expecting peros from ourselves. Not to be too demanding of ourselves, but sometimes we expect a result. It could be that we're being too demanding in ourselves to expect the result. So the truth is, if you think about it, we're saying almost two conflicting messages, which are, I don't think they conflict. They're emphasizing two different nekudas. And that is, on the one hand, we said that we want the Torah to be malleable, that it could go everywhere, it could go with you everywhere you need to go. But meidach gisa, don't run away from the circumstance. And usually, most times, in my experience in chinuch, when talmidim feel that they're ready to move on, my experience is they could always use another 5-6 months. They always ask me, the next question is, are you going to say that in 5-6 months from now again? So no, it's not true. It's not true. A lot of times, and it even applies to us as well. It applies to us as Avrichim. Sometimes there's an itch to move on, and you need to solidify things a little bit more. And that's the message of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is the idea that you could have a hemshich to the previous year. That's why our Pi Chasidus, there still is an idea of Tu B'Shvat still representing the Chasima of last year. And that's the notion of the Megushamim is only kicking in is only kicking in now. And sometimes a person feels ahead of where he really is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to be able to internalize this idea, to be able to internalize the notion that on the one hand we have the ability to go, we have to think about the ability to be able to go anywhere with what we've accomplished in Avodas Hashem. And if we can't, then we have to think about now why it's not transportable and do everything we can to make it transportable. At the same time, not to run away. That the Tu B'Shvat says that really we're still part of the previous year. And particularly when it comes to Peros, when it comes to Peros and Ruchnius, then one has to realize that the Peros and Ruchnius take a little bit longer to come out.